With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Laurie Sanchez, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Your sausages in the frying pan, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Football Ramble. Lovely to have your ears. Jim's with me.
Hello.
Pete's here.
Yes, I am.
Luke's also here.
All right.
And I'm Marcus. All right then, chaps. We've got an opening question for you. Former Wigan defender Ian Dzeu, since retiring from the game, has become a detective.
I didn't know this, and I love this.
The BBC reported on this. He's been investigating cases involving human trafficking and drugs, so quite serious stuff. But I want to know.
I thought of him as like a proper gumshoe. A Dutch gumshoe.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds like a sexual position.
Until the last sentence you were about to read out, I thought the way you phrased it is like he's just taken it upon himself to be a detective. Right. He's not actually affiliated with anything.
He's turning himself into crimes, anyone in any ITV drama ever.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm a butcher, but I also solve crime, and the police just let me.
That's not true, Jim. If you were a detective, though, and you needed a sidekick from the fabulous world of football, who would you choose, Jimmy?
Well, the good cop, bad cop sort of double act thing is obviously quite a big thing in the reality of being a detective. And you guys all know, I am a hard man.
Yeah.
So I'm going to need someone good cop, quite like nice and avuncular to go alongside me, which is, I would choose Martin Yole.
I think that would be
a great little good cop, bad cop combination with me just laying down the law to the scumbags, you know, and him sort of lulling them into a full sense of security before I just nick them.
Martin Yole's almost like a good cop, bad cop in one, though. He can be very avuncular.
Exactly.
I reckon if shit went down, he would know where to be.
But if you were to keep those positions, good cop, bad cop, with you and Yol, I don't think anything would get solved.
I don't understand it.
Because you're not a hard man.
It seems to be like an insult.
It's an attempt.
Martin Yol would be like, Stroopwafel? And then he'd give it to him, and it's really a coaster. And he goes, ha, I'm the hard cop now. And then he'd eat the...
Oh, okay. Well,
thank you for your contribution.
And that's brought you back into the race for the points, Jim. Pete, what have you got?
It is a rare ramble where I've had a drink before we started. So
not that rare.
No, not rare.
Peter.
I think I've got the same as Luke's.
What? Why do you think that?
Because we shared a glance, a knowing glance.
No, because Pete's seen mine and he looked at it and that was your bit ahead.
No, I did not. You little cheater.
I think you should say it at the same time and then justify it.
After three. One, two, three. Martin O'Neill.
Martin O'Neill.
Very good.
Because he loves it, doesn't he?
Yeah, he loves a murder.
He does love a murder.
Yeah, he's I imagine that's what he's kind of doing right now, to be honest. He's probably under a massive
investigating murders, not doing them. I want to clarify that.
Under a massive stack of Frederick Forsyth novels.
Yeah, you should be thinking of another one right now.
He should be investigating why he's turned into a terrible manager.
So to clarify that,
the hardest crime.
Martin O'Neill is a big fan of like true crime and stuff, and used to like go to court cases and watch them unravel and things.
I believe I'm right in saying that when he was living in the Midlands, I don't know where he lives now, but apparently he attended every
Midsummer now, very busy.
He attended every day in the public gallery of the Fred West trial, apparently.
Yeah, is that right?
And he did a degree in criminology in Dublin, I think, but he didn't finish it, or Belfast, something like that, but he didn't finish it. Mm-hmm. But he still maintains an interest in it, so he would be, if nothing else, very enthusiastic and experienced.
Really good at looking for clues in bungalow guttering, because he's good at leaping, isn't he?
Yes, good,
Well, you should have Danny Gutteridge if you're going to go down that
one. Who's Danny Gutteridge?
Oh, you know. Pete, that's your answer.
No, that is my answer.
No, you've had a chance to think of another one.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Okay, why don't you go for Jack Warner?
Okay.
And you could investigate, you know,
him?
Fraud.
Him.
Yeah,
but surely that just creates an adversary for you. He's the worst partner.
Oh, but he'll know. He'll know who the dealers and the wheelers are.
He'll be a poacher turned gamekeeper, Jim.
he knows their tricks.
Incidentally, do you chaps know? I mean, this may have just been a surprise to me and not you, but do you know how old Martin O'Neill is?
No.
Yeah, I do know, yeah.
How old?
61.
Yeah, older than you think, isn't he?
Mm, that is older
I thought
than
he
I
was
thought.
60.
Yeah, well, you'd have been wrong.
No, I thought he was in his 50s. So yeah. You're right.
You'd have also been wrong.
Older than I thought. I'm going to go for former Newcastle United defender Steve Watson. Put him on a
elementary, my dear Watson.
Absolutely, right.
There you go. Good one from
thank you very much.
Duo Speller and Watson,
which is enough to clinch me the point.
Steve outrageous. Watson, not a doctor.
Criminal.
Can I have the points, Marcus? Yes, I can, Marcus.
Absolutely criminal.
When he solves a case, he does that.
Is that you and Ben with another man called Marcus?
No. A little nod to the office there. Right, it's FA Cup semi-finals. Chat time. Millwall, they lost. Chelsea also lost. But let's talk about... Yeah, well, that's true, Jim. Let's talk about Millwall versus Wigan. Wigan won 2-0. That was...
Can we talk about Millwall versus Millwall?
Yes. All right, OK.
Can we talk about the cleverness of making Millwall play at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? Sweet idea, policeman.
Can we also talk about how quick the police were on the scene? By my calculations, it was about 12 minutes.
The police were very impressed. They took their hats off to them.
Yeah.
We're just joining in with the puns.
I think there were two bursts of it, weren't there? And each of them lasted about 20 minutes. That is stamina. I can fight for 20 minutes.
Fight is knackering.
Yeah.
As well. Like knackering. You throw like three and that's it.
And that's just knackered. A punch bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it? You're stiff for days after that.
It's sickening, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
All joking aside.
Watch the game.
Yeah, I watched the game. I just, well, obviously I don't understand it.
A couple of eyewitness reports said that it was these two drunk guys just being drunk and there was a lot of families around them and stuff. And then, and they started causing trouble within the Millwall fans trying to fight people. And Stewart just did nothing. So then it just escalated until, you know, the other fans joined in and this big scrap started.
So basically, a lot of people didn't like the idea of violence, so they committed violence.
Yeah.
to express themselves.
It is the solution.
Well, I actually text a couple of mates who are Millwall fans who are in the crowd separately. And they don't know each other, and neither of them knew what had happened.
But they still...
Yeah, no, neither of them.
Still waded in.
They're obviously ashamed, and they're annoyed.
No, they still throw a couple of collymores.
But they didn't know what had happened.
Right, okay.
So I don't know what the cause of it, but I mean, that sounds like a plausible explanation. Yeah. But I mean, people drunk and all that sort of crap.
It's a shame, because it's a fabulous achievement for the team, getting to the semi-final.
Yeah, it does mar it.
But I mean, Wigan, obviously, better side and decent value for the win.
I just think on that pitch, I mean, Wigan played nice football, they like to knock it around, and that pitch is massive. And we were always going to struggle to contain them. And Wigan have got... I know Wigan aren't the greatest side, but they've got performances in them, you know. That performance at Goodison Park, when it clicks for them, which is why they've got a chance in the final. Obviously, Man City are a better team, but on their day, Wigan are a really good side, and they showed that actually. They were a much better team.
And Martinez is obviously quite tactically astute, even though their league position is quite low down.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken about Wigan so many times at this stage of the season and how they seem to pull it off. I mean, the problem they have is they lose their best players every summer, so they have to rebuild, and it takes them a while to click again. But, you know, the style of football they play, as you say, Luke, when they get it to click, it's that it belies their league position.
And their front three are very, very sort of intelligent in their movement and stuff like that. And you've got a player like Jordi Gomez, who I think can play at a better team, you know, and he makes them tick. They were just a class above Millwall, really, especially on a big pitch, on a big occasion.
And if they can get another performance out of Sean Maloney like that,
absolutely. Oh, he was excellent, wasn't
he? Yeah,
he really was good.
Off the back of his free kick against QPR.
And Callum McManaman, who managed to put a shift in, even though he really shouldn't have been playing.
Great goal.
It was a lovely goal, yeah.
Yeah, well, they will play.
Mill will be angry that someone who's committed such violence was appearing at Wembley.
Maybe that's what they were doing. Maybe it was a very intelligent protest against Callum McManaman.
Intelligent.
Yeah.
They will play Manchester City in the final after a pulsating game at Wembley.
I came very, very close,
but
I didn't quite achieve it, of actually feeling sorry for how tired Chelsea were.
Yeah.
They looked so knackered.
But yeah, they really did. And it was a great game, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it really was.
End-to-end stuff, and chances and tackle, all the rest of it, exactly what you'd want.
All the things in a football.
All of
offsides.
Football.
Throw-ins.
Goal kicks
were involved.
Fans were there.
Stadium.
Fights. Uh-huh. No, not that one.
No, there wasn't. I don't think there was. But was City good value for the win, Jim?
I think they certainly edged it.
Well, they did.
Yeah, exactly.
Demba Ba's goal was a nice one.
Yeah, it was.
Another acrobatic one.
Aguero's finish was just clever little headed dink in a way, which is always nice.
You don't think of him to be contributing with headers.
Oh, he put a nasty one in on the David Luiz, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he?
Two-footer on the arse.
And then Torres tried to get him back, didn't he?
Did get him back.
Yeah,
I don't know if Torres meant that or not.
Mm.
Ooh.
I think he did.
if he'd meant it, he would have missed.
Great gag,
Good
Kim.
Point.
Great gag.
But Wigan, Man City in the final. Man City would obviously be favourites, but I think Wigan have got a chance. I don't want to see Dave Whelan lead him out of the final.
No.
He's going to, though, isn't he?
Of course he is. He's going to play.
Yeah. And they get injured again.
Well, he's old enough to get injured. I don't know what I'm doing there. But no, City, City-Chelsea, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. And it was just one of those ones where when a lot of foreign footballers come to play in England, they say, we love playing in England. I think those are the games that they absolutely relish, because it's just like, way! You just run around loads.
They were like counter-attacks in the first half. Yeah. They were like 3-on-1. What's happening?
There were times as well where it really did look like City might give Chelsea a bit of a battering. Like, Yaya Toure in particular.
That's right.
In particular, just beasting his way through the middle.
There was one point where Man City were breaking the 3-on-1. The one was David Luiz, and he looked really annoyed. And I'd love to imagine the other Chelsea defenders just screaming, "That's what it's like! That's what it's like! Don't do it again! It's the only way you'll learn."
Well, hopefully the final will be as good as that one then, eh?
Physical.
But actually, I think the final does have potential to be a great game if both teams really,
yeah, because Wigan won't shut up shop. Yeah, exactly.
Styles.
Yeah.
Maybe both teams will play three at the back.
They've been known to.
Right, well, that's the semi-final chat. Let's go to the Premier League, where other football was being played, and Arsenal beat Norwich 3-1. For a long time, it looked as though it was going to be one of those classic Arsenal performances where they dominate, lose a goal from a set piece, and then just not get anything out of it.
Yeah, there were two things I really enjoyed about that, which is a lot of...
You were at the game, weren't you?
Spurs. I wasn't, no.
I'm the Arsenal fan. This weekend.
Lots of Spurs fans crying about it on Twitter, which were then later retweeted. It's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal just sort of dug in, got very lucky with the
third goal.
Didn't know it was over by then. No, that was a penalty.
That was a penalty.
Do you think?
If Camara doesn't pull on Giroud's shirt, then he never gets the clearance. He uses it for leverage.
Okay. So.
The biggest discrepancy for me was that, not the third goal, but was the second. When a Giroud pulls Bessong over. So it's exactly the same part of the pitch.
So all three goals are questionable.
What was wrong with the third one?
Offside.
I was offside. I didn't see that. Okay.
So very lucky.
But the penalty was a penalty because he pulled him down. But the second goal was Giroud actually grabs Bessong to get in front of him and to get the final touch. So that was, if you're going to give a penalty, you arguably shouldn't have given the goal for that. So I mean, I'd say one of them
for Norwich's free kick. I'm not sure it was even a foul.
The referees are the mayor.
Well, the linesman gave the penalty, didn't he?
Mm.
And there's a lot of people really angry about that. Oh, he's miles away from it. He did get it right.
Yes.
It's really weird how he went for the fourth official. The highlight for me was seeing, I forgot how much bad posture Snodgrass has.
Yeah,
he's got such, he's proper hunchback, kind of like proper sort of Bellamy.
Yeah, he's not got much of a neck on him.
No, it's really weird. But it was nice to see Grant Holt in the flesh. It's the first time I've seen him play.
Right, okay.
Spends a lot flesh of time offside. Does nothing off them.
Oh, when Berbatov does it, everyone loves it. Pathetic.
But he seems to sort of understand that they are always going to step backwards whenever the ball's played and stuff. But the amount of times I was thinking, you just don't care one way or the other, and you're the captain. It's just kind of watch him play.
How was the mood at the Emirates when they were going down?
It was very quiet, and then it was just very kind of like, there was a lot of hand wringing, and then, but look at the bench that they had to bring on. You know, they made the substitution when they needed to make the substitution.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I thought
it's important move for them.
The last 10 minutes.
And that's a positive thing that it's possible to even say that about Arsenal's bench, because it's been a time where you look at it and think, well, who's going to turn anything around there? So it's, I think it deserves credit for using it well.
And in weeks gone by, we've actually also said there's a question mark over Arsenal sort of turning it on when it really matters. Mm. And this game has obviously been one that they would have expected to have won, but to go a goal down and then come back was really encouraging.
He's also got a couple of chances that he really should have put away. And if Jovinho had done the same ones, he would have been, because he was dog pops that weekend.
Mm. Oh, mate, you sound like a real Arsenal fan.
But he was terrible.
Jovinho has been in reasonable form, hasn't he?
Yeah,
he
has, yeah. He just had one
that
of those
one
games
where
he was just back to his normal form.
Bun tipped onto the bar, which was a fantastic save. Did you see me? He celebrated.
Yeah,
like he
actually properly celebrated, didn't he? Yeah, he was pumping his fist and stuff.
Yeah, it was a fabulous save. A candidate for save of the season, Jim. Mm.
That would have been a really good goal as well.
Yeah, it would have been.
Into his path. Just lashed it.
3 points for the Gun Guns. Everton.
They should be known forever.
The Big Veng and the Gun Guns. So like a punk covers band.
Well, let's go to the Toff Toffs, where Everton beat QPR 2-0.
Yeah.
Routine stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're in the hunt. David Moyes on Match of the Day.
Good to see.
Yeah.
I didn't see Match of the Day this week.
I did not, yeah. No. It was nice to see him there, but I just feel that he was very reserved for the, I just
two words for you: shop window.
he reminds me seeing him sat down like that at such close quarters of you know, the Big Train sketch with the world staring championship.
Oh yeah,
which has got that same
cross with a bit of Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, QPR just nowhere near good enough. I mean, it's, you keep waiting. I might have said this before, actually. You keep waiting for him to start kick on and really start firing and get a run together. Right. It's not happening.
But that's true of so many teams. There hasn't been a team this season that's really kicked on and woken up. You know,
QPR are the only one who's spent.
But you expect that of them now, so it almost doesn't count.
Yeah,
QPR spent so much money. They got a new manager in Redknapp, and you'd think they'd get a bump. It's just not happening. They're nowhere near good enough. They're going to get relegated, and they deserve to be. I mean, the fact is, they're worse off now than when he joined. They are, aren't they?
With all these players, with like Loic Remy.
You enjoyed saying that, didn't you?
He'll never run out of excuses. The thing is, he won't run out. This week he asked the chairman for a new pitch. Like, he said we need a new pitch.
Remember that plastic one?
Yeah, Tony Fernandez went on Twitter like, the manager's asked for a new pitch and we're going to get him at one relay. And I just felt like tweeting back going, you mug. They're playing the same pitch. The opposition have to play on that pitch as well. And also, this weekend, you're away from home.
Yeah. He'll be selling that pitch to his new club.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, can we have a new chairman?
No, he likes the current pitch, but he just wants it in his garden.
Yeah.
Sorry, the chairman gets the new pitch.
But I mean, I know it sounds like I'm being like hating a redneck, which I am, but the facts are they're worse off. They are statistically worse off than they were when he took over.
Mm. You're not hating on him, you're just absolutely loving it.
Yeah. Just tell them the facts as they are. Hashtag real talk.
Well, yeah, so another loss for QPR. Reading drew 0-0. QPR and Reading, I think a lot of people thought this
Reading
for a while.
Did well to hang on there, though.
Alex McCarthy was so good.
Yeah, he was excellent, yeah.
There was a highlights video on like 101 great goals, whatever it was. And the headline for the video was Alex McCarthy saves. For the game, the video was 5 minutes long.
But I mean, Liverpool is a really strange conundrum at the moment because they just make so many chances, and obviously Luis Suarez is banging a reasonable number of them away, but they just don't score enough goals. They are not far away from being just so much better. They just need a few things to click, just to be a little bit more ruthless, and if they can do that next season, they'll finish much, much higher than they will this season.
I did enjoy the Red and White Cop Twitter feed where it's like the Red and White Cop meltdown.
Yeah, it's very good.
Like, we've made the opportunity look like world class again.
The thing is,
taking away his own achievement.
Brendan Rodgers has got on playing well. I mean, they're going to do better this season than they did last season in terms of points gained and stuff. Mm. I think they're already maybe only one or two points worse off than they were at the end of last season. So they will do better. Mm. Rodgers has got on playing like quite a nice style of football. They press quite well, but
we had a brilliant signing in Coutinho.
He's certainly lovely. The thing is, Reading get the ball away so cheaply. They get the ball away so easily to Liverpool, and Liverpool just didn't make the most of their chances. But Alex McCarthy, I think he was the goalkeeper who played in the game against QPR at Loftus Road. He was man of the match, and the game finished 1-0. But he was absolutely superb then. That's the only two times I've seen him play. So if he's like that everywhere,
like
I don't know why he's playing.
He's been loaned around.
He's really young.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adam Federici's a decent keeper, isn't he? So, you
know, I think he's prone to a meltdown, though, isn't he, Federici?
Yeah, but obviously he's been keeping him out of the side. Maybe that would change.
Liverpool should... I mean, the fact is, though, what Pete's touched on is absolutely correct. Liverpool really, as you know, you stick the ball in the right area, the keeper's not saving it. So they've got to take some responsibility for making the keeper look good as well.
You think Suarez will stay?
Who knows?
Because obviously that makes a huge difference to...
Brendan Rodgers was on Goals on Sunday this morning saying, oh yeah, he's such a great player to work with. Like, massively buttering up, basically.
Yeah.
I thought he signed a new contract relatively recently, didn't he? But doesn't mean
he's going to be expensive though, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I suppose so.
It's a football contract.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Too much.
It's written in crayon.
We must go to Newcastle 0 Sunderland 3, Pete Donaldson. Oh dear, oh dear.
How did you feel?
I didn't watch it.
Did you not?
Yeah. Were you busy smashing up your own town centre? Or was that afterwards?
Tracking a horse.
Yeah. Why on earth was Niall Quinn given the gig as co-commentator?
Did he know he was working?
What an awful day for football.
Niall Quinn
in Newcastle.
Niall Quinn turns up in the commentary box, Hawaiian shirt, yeah. Bermuda shorts, massive Cuban. Am I in the right place?
So that all, he had that on underneath.
Yeah.
The first goal gets in and one piece of clothing's off.
Yeah. As he starts texting Kevin Phillips, get yourself down here.
What did he say when the first goal went in again?
Oh, Di Canio was like romping it down the touchline and he just goes, oh, it's wonderful for the Sunderland fans to see that. Fuck yes.
Can't believe he's now endorsing fascism.
At one point when one of the Sunderland strikers, I forget who it was, Mr. Header, he actually went, I can't believe he's missed that header.
Is that right? Yeah, you see, as soon as Di Canio starts celebrating, everyone forgets his political beliefs, don't they?
They look a different side. They do. I mean, I was saying to you guys a few weeks ago against Norwich away.
Yeah.
When Norwich, I think it was away anyway, but Norwich had a man sent off, and Sunderland looked so toothless.
I was at home,
yeah. Bereft of any ideas or anything.
They looked terrible.
And the forward line they had against Newcastle, I know it's a derby, so they're up for it, but I mean, it just looked like a completely different outfit.
A great counter-attacking side. Danny Rose is brilliant at the back. You just get past him at all.
I have to say, I thought Cissé was unlucky to be ruled out for offside, which was not offside.
But I mean, they could have had a couple of penalties, you know.
That Danny Graham decision.
Goodfriend probably should have been off as well. Yeah. So it's like, it's, you know, 6-2-3. I enjoyed Amiobi's introduction and his header. Did you see his header where he just like
the diving header.
What were you aiming at there?
Trying to shoot
out for a throw.
Is he out now? Is he going to be off?
Come on,
not in Europe anymore.
If you lose Amiobi, you stay up?
He's not gone yet.
It was a very toothless performance, and you know, you can say a lot about it. A lot of those players did play in Europe on Thursday. But
what a win for Sunderland! I mean, and all the goals as well. Sessegnon was a menace all afternoon.
He was
a little bit divey.
Well, that's good to see as well, because Sessegnon is one of those players that has really badly underperformed this season.
Last season he was great, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he's just been off the radar really. But you know. Paolo's kicked them in the anuses,
and Adam Johnson with a lovely goal as well.
Again, another player that you know you could have expected a lot more from.
And Vaughan with a great—I mean, three smashing goals.
Yeah, Vaughan's was a beauty.
He was indeed.
Absolute beauty.
It was a perfect hit, really.
He couldn't have put it more on the top corner. It was unfortunate because the goalkeeper that came on because Krull's out for the season now, isn't he?
Yeah,
it's a big loss. Dislocated shoulder. So the goalkeeper who came on, I think his first touch was a big claim. And
that's right.
And they thought he's in a good game now, but there's nothing he could do about those goals.
Oh no.
Yeah,
Di Canio had a wonderful time, didn't he?
He was absolutely loving it. Him and Niall Quinn will be out on the sauce tonight.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Dirty knees Di Canio.
Yeah. I think I saw him punch a horse as well.
He's that excited.
That is absolute dream stuff for him. There he is in the Premier League.
Well, they'll stay up now, no question.
Do you think?
Yeah, no question about it. Of course
no question.
It's a big ask.
But will Newcastle be dragged into it, please?
Well, they are.
No, I can't see
but Newcastle.
Another few performances like that.
5 points off Relly.
Relly.
Yeah. It's not where you want to be, is it, with 3 or 4 games left or however many there are?
You've got like West Ham and QPR. I'm sure we'll be able to.
West Ham, they're fine, mate.
Exactly, but that's the problem for them, is it?
Yeah. So Newcastle should be fine.
Yeah, that's some of the fixtures. And then Stoke City lost again, obviously, to Manchester United.
They were awful as well.
Really shit.
Stoke are good, they're awful.
Yeah, they didn't do the stuff you expect them to do.
No, they just kicked them.
Yeah. But it wasn't even a press in your face kick. It was almost just like a lazy kick.
I remember it was Ryan Shawcross was certainly guilty of one of these. Just sort of like, well, I could try and overtake the player and tackle him, or I could just sort of run into the back of him so our legs get tangled up and we both fall over and just hope it's all right.
At one point, the commentator asked Gary Neville if Ryan Shawcross was ever anywhere near the first team at Man United when it was a youth team player. Neville just went no. Just went no. He was nowhere near the team, but he shown himself to be a dedicated pro, which is the most diplomatic way of saying you don't rate him.
Damning with fair pro praise.
But the Stoke were awful. Van Persie scored his first goal for a long time, which he'll be delighted with, obviously.
Absolutely. Who do we think are going to go down, assuming Reading and QPR?
It's a tough one.
It's so difficult to say.
It really is, especially with after that Sunderland result. I was saying them up until that, but you know, it's such a dramatically. Such a dramatic boost in quality that it's hard to say.
You've got to look at the fixtures.
I guess Sunderland did put a couple of really decent performances the last two matches, but they didn't get much out of it. Maybe, you know, the next few matches they could actually kick on and get some points on the board.
I think if you look at the fixtures, and I mean, I know there's obviously results that pop up that you don't expect, but Villa, I think, have got the hardest run. They play Maynard next. Yeah. They're away at Sunderland, which is a massive game for them.
Huge.
And they've also got to go away to Chelsea as well. And then on the last of the season, they're away at Wigan. Yeah.
And they're rubbish as well.
And they are utterly shit.
It is a good point, yeah. Jim. It is a good point.
So we have to. If I had to choose,
Who's Stoke got?
Save with Stoke. I've got it down here. Written down here, actually. Here we go. Oi, oi. Bit of research. Stoke are away at QPR next. Massive. But QPR are probably down. Then they're at home to Norwich. Then they're away at Sunderland. Then they're at home to Spurs. And they're away at Southampton. I think they have been really poor.
Yeah.
I think it'll be between Stoke and Villa, actually.
I like your idea of research is control P.
Control C, control V, print.
What about staying briefly in the Premier League? They've chosen the Hawkeye system for the use of goal line technology.
Mm-hmm.
Are we in favour?
I am. I know, Luke, in the past you've not so much so.
It's not necessarily that it's goal line technology itself. It's just I think my view on it is if you're going to bring in technology, you've got to bring in technology all or nothing.
Mm. Why do you think that?
Well, because a classic example would be when John Terry cleared the ball off a line, England Ukraine Euro 2012. Ball was over a line, John Terry clears it off.
Yeah.
Goal line technology gives that a goal, but the player was offside.
That's right.
So basically, you've got a situation where the technology is awarding a goal. Mm-hmm. Because it's judging on one set of rules, but not the whole set of rules, not the whole complement of rules.
But it's awarding it's still the job of the linesman to spot that, though. So you know, the Hawkeye's not.
Well, it's the job of the linesman to spot the ball over the line.
But that's harder. You know,
it would be extremely frustrating though if we saw that goal and we thought, no, hang on, the man's offside, and it got given as a goal.
Of course, but that would count anyway. That's always the case. Mm. You know, regardless of the goal line,
it's here to help the referee.
The refs and their assistants, they're not omnipotent. They can't see every angle. It's ridiculous to think they can. So I think giving them that help is a good thing.
You know, it happens,
but I actually think it should just be for goals because it's not going to slow the game down in that
way. It happens like 10 times a season. You know,
exactly.
It's not a huge.
Maybe not even.
The only thing, in which case then, the compromise would be the way they do it in cricket, where they ask for a decision and then they say, is there any reason I can't give this wicket? By essentially checking if it's not a no ball, checking the ball pitches in line, all that sort of stuff. That what the referee, I think, to get a secure answer for my example would be, he checks if the ball's over the line, and if it is with the technology, then he says, is there any other reason I can't give the goal? But in which case, you don't need the technology anyway, because you can just use a video replay to show whether the ball's over the line or not, and that's that. It's almost
that's a lot slower, isn't it?
Well, so what? There's so many. Tim Krul got a shoulder dislocated today, and the game was stopped for 5 minutes. Mm. That happens. It happens much more than you think.
But, you know, those in power want to keep it as quick as possible. I think it needs to be taken into account.
The reason I'm against it, essentially, in this case, is because I think it's a fudge job, and I don't think it does everything it should do. That's my take on it. I'm not one of these Luddites who's against technology. I'm not against the extra officials and all that sort of stuff. But on some occasions, and it will happen, there'll be a massive game sooner or later where it will be called into question and it won't be doing what it's supposed to do.
For me, I think that the chance of that happening is very, very rare. And also, I just firmly believe if you score a goal, you deserve that goal on the scoreline. And if that can help, if the technology can help that happen, then that's a good thing.
But the Ukraine goal shouldn't have counted.
Well, it shouldn't have counted.
But what I'm saying to you is, I understand your point, but what I'm trying to say to you is, if you say the goal's over the line, ball's over the line, they deserve the goal, they're offside.
That's a completely different point. I'm saying if the ball crosses the line and it's wrongly disallowed, that's obviously wrong. If you're a team who score a goal in a football match, you should get that goal. And if the technology can enable that, then...
So what would you do in that situation, as the example I gave?
In that situation, you've got to rely on your linesman to do the job properly.
But the technology is awarding a goal that shouldn't be a goal. So use technology or don't.
Yeah, but if you don't have the technology in that situation, the outcome is exactly the same.
If you call outside and the ball's not involved, so you've called a man offside and that's an offside decision, not necessarily whether a goal's been given. It's only one facet of that particular situation. And how many times has somebody been called offside and you know the ball's almost been over the line? It's a very small problem, I think.
Until we have robo refs, this will roll on. In fact, this is a good thing because we can still have these debates.
The robot ref, like in Robot War,
absolutely.
Ref bot.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, I did turn up at Soho Square with my plans for the pool behind the.
Oh yeah, that was a really good idea.
They just because it's got loads
more potential for slapstick comedy
exactly,
as well.
Yeah.
Goalkeeper takes one step too far back in the drink.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
shoot on sight.
And the pool should be like 12 meters deep as well,
just behind the line.
Yeah.
It's the only solution. The German company Goal Control. They've got the sounds scary.
That's what you call a robot ref.
They've got the provider's contract for goal line technology at the 2014 World Cup. Goal Control. We'll decide.
Yeah. But it's not that's clearly like a business just set up to do that. Like, very much. There's no technology in football at the moment.
That's going, right.
Yeah, we can do that. What are we going to? We need to come up with a name for the company.
Yeah, I bet Beckenbauer. You know, he's a
Beckenbauer.
Beckenbauer.
He's the end level boss.
Beckenbauer. I bet Beckenbauer's on the board there somewhere.
I also really want to say, at the risk of sounding like a Luddite, I just think that the game's fine. It's fine. Sometimes shit things happen.
Well, may I remind you,
decisions happen there.
About
all the time.
That Frank Lampard goal,
England would have been world champions. I know that, which makes it harder for me to say. Cruelly denied a 4-2 defeat.
Pedro Mendes at Old Trafford.
But you. I mean,
you didn't need technology
for
that.
When we do have robot humanoids, there'll be even more racism.
No, but the Pedro Mendes one is an interesting point, because there's absolutely no way the linesman could have got there in time to see that.
That is true.
I don't want to spend the whole show talking about this, because it'd be boring for people, but I've done it many times.
Yeah,
I just don't know why this particular rule is on a pedestal above every other rule, because mistakes happen all the time.
I think it's the easiest fix.
I'd have the technology for throw-ins.
Yeah?
And that's it.
What, Tony Pulis?
Well, the correct way that you might have foul throws you see in the Premier League.
No. Just whose ball it actually was.
I'd abandon the foul throw anyway.
Ryan Lowe, the MK Dons centre forward. I was chatting to him, and he said that there was quite an inexperienced linesman for their match the other week, and he said to the point of like the ball got like it hit off his chin and went out, and he was stood right next to the touchline and they got the throw.
Really?
He was like, what? So the technology needs to be there.
Have you got any more stories like that?
It was not my story, it was someone else's.
Thanks, Ryan. If you're listening.
Now Luke's got that line out of the way for another show, we can move on to the Championship. There was a Yorkshire derby, Leeds United 2, Sheffield Wednesday 1. Brian McDermott.
Can I tout my favourite fact of the season?
Is it
that the manager of Leeds Rhino Super League team is also called Brian McDermott?
Whoa!
Come on, that's good, isn't it?
Has he taken over both? Do you just have to do that at Leeds? Is this the first time this has come?
Got to be the same name.
Rugby one. No, you got to manage both teams.
It's not the same bloke. This guy's got hair and everything. It's a very cunning disguise.
I was going to say there is ways around that.
Luke Varley's got a couple of headers.
He did score a couple of headers.
Came from behind.
Yeah, McDermott, good appointment for Leeds, do you think?
I think so, yeah.
He's not done anything wrong, has he?
And that's rare.
It's perfect so far.
It's like Keegan when he got punched by Billy Bremner. I've done nothing, I've been hit twice.
In the lay-by.
Yeah. Brian McDermott, I've done nothing, I've gotten promoted.
That was Billy Bremner in the lay-by.
Could have been.
Maybe.
Could have been.
What, settling a drug debt? I doubt it. But,
you know. Oh, is that what it was?
There's also a video on YouTube doing around of Brian McDermott doing a bit of Knocking on Heaven's Door on the old guitar.
Ooh.
It's very Brent.
Sorry, which Brian McDermott?
I don't know.
United or Rhinos?
I don't know.
Where's Terry McDermott all this?
Yeah. The only way you can tell is because the Brian McDermott for Leeds Rhinos has a big rhino horn.
Terry McDermott's also actually managing Newcastle, the Hippos. that's where he is.
Do you think he's... I don't know. He's a very nice man, Brian McDermott. I get the impression, and I'm pleased for him getting back into football. A very big club. It'd be great if he could take Leeds into the Premier League. It really would.
Well, just providing Leeds off pitch problems could be sorted out finally. It seems like it's been going on for ages. So
get him in.
Steady that ship.
He's in. Cardiff 3, Nottingham Forest 0. Cardiff. They're going up, aren't they?
They're sticking it to us.
They need one more point.
Come on, Cardiff.
It was weird to see Cardiff in red and Forest in blue in that game. It just seemed weird. And Forest were awful, by the way. Yeah. Really, really poor.
It will be sad to see them play in the Premier League in the wrong colour.
Yeah, that is annoying.
They've got some freaking weird owners.
That would be a very nitpicky Cardiff fan. They finally get we're not even in our proper kit.
I'm not observing it.
But they might weird stuff that those people have done in that club. It's very strange.
One thing I would say about that game is that Darius Henderson was sent off for Forest, which is an unfortunate thing, because it was a really harsh decision. He was looking at the ball, trying to hold the defender off, sort of caught him in the chin.
Yeah.
Red. It was. I don't even know if it was a foul.
You can't do that.
I've only seen it once, though, so don't tweet me.
Luke, goal technology for Lukey.
Great win for the Posh. Peterborough beating Watford 3-2. Quite an outstanding result, that was.
Great result for Hull.
Yeah, they're in second place. And there was a few games down the bottom. Wolves won Huddersfield 3. That is a huge win for Huddersfield Town. And in Blackburn beat Derby 2-0. There were sickening scenes at Ewood Park because apparently both sets of supporters were singing together Super Robbie Savage.
Oh, no one likes to see that.
No, or hear it.
Yeah.
No. I dislike the man.
It's sort of... It's one of those things where it makes you a little bit embarrassed to be a football fan, doesn't it? It sort of really puts you off.
One of those many, many things.
Well, they're just appreciating a former player. Is there anything wrong with that?
Yes! If it's Robbie Savage. One thing I would say is Wolves, that you touched on, they're in real trouble. I mean, they got beat.
But Wolves have been doing okay recently under
Well, they won
Saunders.
Three games. Yes. It took them about nine to win one. Mm. Their last four games are Brighton, who are decent, Burnley, Hull, and Charlton, who've just won 6-0 at Barnsley.
Yeah.
I like the way you say Hull.
Yeah. Hull.
A double L at the end of a word does perplex you slightly.
Hull.
Yeah. Can't colour in the name Hull City, the only team in the Football League.
Why would you want to colour a team name in? Why would you want to colour a team name in?
Marcus colours in all of his work.
Is that what you did in rehab?
Is that why you were late for recording?
Reno.
You're in your colouring book again.
Oh, League One. This will shut it. Well, it won't shut you up. It'll get you off back on the subject. Crewe 0, Doncaster 1. Shrewsbury 0, Bournemouth 3. Both of them still going for the top spot.
Super. Eddie Howe, 7 wins in a row.
Yeah.
Great
stuff. He's having a lovely time back at Bournemouth. But it was Brentford 3, Portsmouth 2, which captured some of the headlines, where Pompey's future is secure and the fans ran onto the pitch afterwards. After the final whistle, that was.
Yeah, it was a bit of a topsy-turvy game. They went 1-0 down, then 2-1 up, and they lost 3-2. I don't think this fan ownership thing's properly 100% done yet.
Is it not?
It's done in principle. I don't think it's fully been signed.
What do you think about
saying.
Are you pleased?
No, I'm delighted, yeah. Yeah, great. Yeah, should be. Should
is it going to be completely fan-owned?
Yeah. So we'll be owned by fan supporters trust. Yeah.
I might be misunderstanding this, but are you like Carnu's boss now?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. He's at my house now.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
What, drawing up another contract?
No, he's just sat playing a Scrabble, watching Countdown. Yeah.
He didn't fancy training.
There's some outside investors as well, but essentially the trust will own the club.
Well, that's good, isn't it? That really needed to happen there.
Yeah.
And a barrier down though. Bury will be playing at Portsmouth next season.
They're in real trouble financially as well, Bury. It's a shame.
Indeed.
Yeah, they released a statement last week saying that they need £1 million or something. It was a really strange statement. It was essentially like, we had £1 million to keep going, so if anyone's interested, just drop us a line.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to happen, is it?
No. Interested? Well, you're not offering any service.
No, yeah.
I've looked down behind your sofa, see if you've got any.
Yeah, if you are about to donate to charity, think again. But yeah, poor old Bury. We hope they find us.
Well, I think in fairness, Portsmouth have shown that with a big enough momentum and movement, it can happen. I mean,
it's the right way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have they got such a big fan base though, Bury compared to
probably not, but Portsmouth's fan base isn't massive. No, anyway,
Portsmouth's debt was a lot more.
Portsmouth only get about I think they'd get about 12,000 or 13,000. I mean, it's just obviously big for the level they're at, but it's not a massive support.
No, it isn't. In League 2, let's have a Phil Brown update in Southend. You're going to have talks with defender Bilal Moshini, the Tunisian's time at the club has been littered with disciplinary problems.
I love this.
So Phil Brown's going to be the man to finally sort it. I did like this. This is straight from the BBC website. It said about Moshini's time in English football. It said games 85, goals 18, yellow cards 18, red cards 4. Games prematurely left to catch a train 2.
Yeah. Which is too many.
Yeah. That's incredible.
How did you get away with that?
Well, didn't he basically ask to be subbed off? And surely the only way you can do that is by saying you're injured to then catch the train.
To the hospital.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you guys saw caught napping for Crewe's second goal in the Johnston Trophy final, but that was almost enough to get him subbed off. He sort of fell on the floor and pretended that he got fouled as well.
I think the reason why he got away with it is because Paul Sturrock was in charge and he looks like a lovely man.
I think you feel bad doing that on Sunday League, you know, like, sorry lads, I've got to go leave you in the lurch.
Did Mossy not play quite well for Southend for a bit and then get a move to Ipswich, like a loan move? Well,
18 goals in 85 games is great for a defender, so he's, you know,
four red cards.
Well, he's sort of a defensive midfield player
for them. Still,
it's a good return, but I think he was just dreadful. I don't think he hardly played it, switch on loan, so maybe he's got real issues.
My goodness. Well, I'm sure Phil Brown will sort it out. Oh my goodness, let's go to the Scottish Cup. Both semi-finals were 7-goal thrillers.
14 incredible. Goals in two games. How did the Hearts get on?
They've completed that tournament.
they finished it early.
They just did the Xbox achievement.
The Hibbies, they were playing, the High Bees, the Hibernians were playing Falkirk. They won 4-3 after being 3-0 down. They missed a penalty on the way.
They were 3-0 down after half an hour.
Yeah. And Lee Griffiths had a lovely old time, scored the first, and then he got the winner. Oh, sorry, did he score his second goal? I forget. And then he scored the winner with an absolute pearler.
Yeah, such a good goal.
I saw some of that match, and as soon as Hibs made it 3-1, Falkirk started to shit their pants.
Yeah, absolutely.
They did well to get to extra time in the end.
Yeah, but having the penalty save in such a big game though, and still having the stones to just keep it up and score those two goals. Brilliant.
Yeah, totally. It was a shame. I thought there was a few empty seats in the Hibs end.
Oh yeah, well, it's wouldn't find that at Hearts, would you, mate?
You wouldn't find that at Hearts. No. That's what I was going to say. Dundee United, they were beaten 4-3 by Celtic. Oh, both games after extra time.
That went hecky time as well, didn't it?
Yeah. Incredible scene. So it'll be an all green and white final.
It's where it's at, isn't it? Celtic.
Yeah,
Scottish. You've been saying it for years, mate. You have been saying it for years.
I am getting out of this.
You'll be delighted if Hibernian win the cup, won't you?
I'm not fussed, actually.
As long as a Scottish team wins.
As long as the winners recognise that it won't be as good as last year.
As long as everyone does the BT.
Exactly. No, but it was two fantastic games, actually. It's a great advert for the Scottish Cup. So get off its back. And that's it, really, for British football in this round. We're going to go to another cup which is of similar importance to the Scottish Cup, to the Champions League.
Oh, God, what a week.
My goodness, what a week. To be honest, actually, it's been one of the best weekends for the Scottish Cup and one of the best weeks for the Champions League.
Everyone's happy.
The quality on display was just beautiful.
I mean, where should we start? Should we start with Galatasaray 3, Real Madrid 2, 5-3 on aggregate? A Boué man with a beauty.
Oh, God. Smashed it, didn't he?
Just like military-esque. Like that had come out of a fucking rocket. And one of those ones with the outside of the boot.
Yeah.
Very hard to do.
And Drogba's goal as well.
Drogba with a
flick. And Schneider, like, Schneider
did have a terrible miss before.
He did.
That.
The brilliant thing, I'm sure you all saw the game, but the Galatasaray, you know, they looked dead and buried and they did this spirited fight back. They scored three times in like 15 minutes, didn't they? Something like that.
Boué's celebration was getting the ball because he actually thought they were going to go free, didn't he?
Yeah, of course he does. He's a Boué man. He's relentlessly positive.
But in his head, you can imagine him going.
The atmosphere. I mean, I know Turkish football stadiums tend to have a good atmosphere.
People digging, trying to get in with their hands.
Yeah, that's it.
All sorts
popping up everywhere.
Yeah, like little moles.
That Schneider miss you're talking about—it was really bad. Yeah. I knew the result when I saw the highlights. I thought, oh god, he's going to be—he's going to be gutted over that, given what happened. Thinking that, you know, he should have buried that. But then I saw his goal, which he made out of nothing. And thought, all right, just absolutely one touch to skin two Real Madrid defenders.
When I saw the first miss, I couldn't stop myself thinking, if ever there's been a player who's got off the fat of the land, it's Wesley Schneider. And then he scored that goal, I was like,
it's that Wesley Schneider.
Yeah.
It's nice to see him care for another.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Drogba scoring with a sort of cheeky flicked back
heel. That was a great goal. Cristiano Ronaldo weighed in with a couple of
Of course he did. Is something like 48 goals in 47 games? Is that for the season?
It's not good enough.
It isn't, is it?
But a fabulous game there. And another 3-2 was Dortmund 3 Malaga 2. Of course, it was 0-0 in the first leg.
That was
Malaga just needed a score.
I love that these games were so different as well, because this is a real sort of topsy turvy one.
That Dortmund game was just absolute scene. It's ridiculous.
Did you see the banner?
Yeah.
My
god. Yeah.
The banner that the fans had was absolutely enormous. And what was it? It's a sort of cartoon character with binoculars.
Yeah, it's like they're animated mascot thing. Yeah, it's so good.
I mean, check that out. If you the Dortmund banner, really do.
And Jurgen Klopp went nuts after the game.
Oh, you would do that.
Lovely post-match interview.
Yeah. The one thing I'm a little bit disappointed about is that it's not the Germans and the Spanish teams in the semis, because then you'd actually get. I mean, because we could all probably agree they're the four best teams in Europe. Mm. So we'd get a Clasico in one and the Dortmund Bayern Munich in the other.
And
winner goes through.
I'm
that
quite glad we're seeing Bayern versus Barcelona, because I wanted to see that fixture.
Pep 2.5 for each team.
Exactly.
There's such a narrative to it. It's really, really.
Dortmund
good.
Have got a good good chance against Real Madrid, you know that, because I mean,
well, they've beaten them already and they drew with them in the group stage,
and Real Madrid, so. And Real Madrid, Dortmund almost beat them at the Bernabeu. I think Real Madrid scored the last minute equaliser, did they not? So they've got a real chance.
They've picked up. They won 6-1 this weekend. Bayern won 4-0. They have not. Those two clubs have not switched off. You know, these games are practice games for the Champions League now. There are some German teams getting some hidings.
It was a shame for PSG, I thought, because
yeah, they played really well.
To be honest, I don't think I've seen a team play football at the Nou Camp and actually
you have,
gone
I was there
with
when
a,
you did.
Sorry, well, you haven't finished, you cheeky sod. To have a plan to stick to it and execute it so well, they were superb, great on the counter. They got the goal, they went ahead. They had
very unfortunate. They should have won. They should have gone through.
They still had another chance to score, which you should have taken. You're not going to get that many opportunities against Barcelona.
But wasn't it incredible though the way they played and Ibrahimovic was superb, especially for the first hour.
They were undone by the idea of Messi.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It really, really is. It changed the game completely. And it upped the Barcelona players' performance, which
and
has got to be a worry.
The PSG players as well. You know what I mean by
it's
that?
Not a worry as long as Lionel Messi can recover from hamstring injuries in like a week. It's just mental. It's mental. I looked up on the internet how long it should take. I mean, because I found that there was different grades of tear and stuff.
He obviously didn't have a serious.
Turns out it's not black and white.
But apparently the average is like 6 weeks on average. So I mean, even if it was a very slight tear or a pull, I mean, it's
as soon as the goal went in, he was stood up and I was like, oh god. Seeing that you celebrate, oh fam. It's like watching your goal get ruled out for offside. You look over the bench, oh fam.
The players they have in that team though, they shouldn't be. You know,
well, let's not forget Messi. Messi didn't actually score the goal.
No, absolutely. But I mean, and of course PSG are a great team. They're not sort of plucky underdogs or anything with the money that's been spent.
I thought they were unlucky.
They were through. I mean, over two games, Barcelona couldn't beat them.
How nice to see Dybeck in the Champions League.
Oh, wasn't it?
Newcastle.
Started in Paris. The game in Paris.
On the last 10. I just thought, oh, this is good enough for me.
You had your framed picture of Sven. You had Beckham on the telly. You were happy.
Zlatan and Beckham at the Nou Camp. Yeah. Once again, ladies and gentlemen.
The Marcus Speller story.
Bayern, Barca, Dortmund, Madrid. Wonderful lineup for the Champions League. Right, that's the roundup. Let's go to Pete's game.
Let's go to Pete's game indeed.
Stop. Is it Clive Mendonca?
No.
Stop. Pierluigi Casiraghi.
Pete, seriously though, do it properly this time.
We've never had this one.
Tell the listeners about the little video one you did. Say sorry. They might not have seen that.
I did. Well, if you've not seen it, it's John Lukic.
Oh, good. Good.
Check out the website. What was that website again?
It's not even on there.
Stop drinking.
It's youtube.com/footballramble. The best thing about it was, I get the email.
I'm on a sad day. I had a Bloody Mary alone.
And your team lost 3-0, remember? Don't forget that.
You did a YouTube version of Pete's game, right? And obviously, people put comments on the YouTube video, and I get an email every time someone gets a comment. Right? So that's fine. The first sort of 10 or so comments, John Lukic. Right, fine. Yeah. Like 35 emails later, stop saying John Lukic. Every single email, John Lukic. You can see the comments. Stop commenting yourself. It's bizarre.
It's not really, like, you know, I couldn't suddenly sort of turn around and go, yeah, you got that one right.
No.
Because it's a video.
But people have seen 20 comments saying John Lukic and commenting themselves going, John Lukic.
Right, are we going to get this right this week?
Yes. Stop. Is it John Lukic?
No.
Okay.
These clues actually come from a man from the forum. So we
have not even done it.
someone at the forum has gone, right.
I need to step in here. You've had an intervention.
This is a tribute to the forumers.
You may not care about this, Pete, but we do. This is a tribute to the forumers.
I've got one foot on the beat and okay.
It's a tribute to you being a lazy northern twat.
Northern. That was a necessary race, wasn't
unfair.
It? Well, I came up with my own name, so up yours. Jeopardy.
As a general rule, if you have to say it straight after what it is, then it's not that
have
good.
Have you heard Marcus's impressions of any famous people?
There's a dig.
What?
Pete, I think maybe next week.
I'm Craigie Brune.
Craig Brown is actually very good.
Yeah. Mate, next week, just put the title to the forum.
Right. These comes from Sidlow's Caveat, so thank you so much for these. I was born in Dublin in 1980.
Stop.
Sidlow's Caveat.
Niall Quinn.
No, not Niall Quinn.
1980.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was in Dublin.
Norquin's 32. No, I'm so happy on the co-commentary.
Go on, then you have a go.
Stop. Is it Damien Duff?
No.
Thank goodness. Better. That was wrong.
Better guess.
Well, it's both wrong.
Yeah.
When I was signed by a Premier League club for $6 million, it was a record for a fee paid for a teenager.
Stop. Is it Stephen
Jesus?
Hunt?
Is it Jesus?
Is it Jesus of Nazareth?
Is it Jeddy Juton?
Is it Stephen Hunt?
No, it's not Stephen Hunt.
Stop, Stephen Ireland.
No, not Stephen Ireland.
Go on, Jim.
Right.
No, I'm waiting.
I once had a training ground fight with Edgar Davids.
Ooh. Stop. Robbie Keane.
Stop.
It is Robbie Keane.
Oh, yeah. You got there,
Robbie Keane. I should have got that with the $6 million.
I thought it was Stephen Carr.
No, definitely not Stephen Carr.
My cousin
Carr.
Is the Smiths.
Robbie Keane, a better guess.
My cousin is the Smiths against Morrissey.
I didn't talk about that, did we?
I scored in the final of the 2012 MLS Cup to help win it for LA Galaxy.
Oh, that'd have been
I'm of course signed for my boyhood club.
Sidlow's caveat.
Six occasions.
Sidlow's caveat, make it more difficult.
To be honest, I should have got it with a six.
That was, good. But it basically was dedicated to Swedish House Furniture, which is another guy on the forum.
Who's a company.
They're doing this kind of like fantasy football league draft. And regular poster Swedish House Furniture was the first to pick any player who has ever played in either NASL or the MLS. He panicked and picked Robbie Keane, not Pelé Moa. he went straight for Robbie Keane. So well done, Swedish House Furniture, and also well done all the lads on the forum that are getting involved. And lasses.
For a football round, thefootballround.com/forum. Yep. There's no girls on there.
There's a couple of girls on there. And they've been hounded out.
Yeah. Any correspondence?
By the other members, quite regressive views. Oh, so get yourself over there. Question of the week. So you guys have a think, and you can. This is quite a good one, actually. You can have a think and have an answer yourself at the end. The question this week to Twitter and Facebook was: if Tony Pulis loses his job as Stoke manager,
It wasn't Pulis last week. I was involved in a lot of the answers.
The one before, yeah.
Sorry.
If Tony Pulis loses his job as Stoke manager, what can you imagine him doing next for a job, and why? So
what have we got?
Paul Snoop says school caretaker. He could encourage kids to hoof the ball in the air, then refuse to get it back when it goes on the roof.
Yeah,
I could actually imagine him doing that.
Yeah,
that's why I like that one. Morgan Green says bouncer at a Turkish bathhouse.
Yeah, again. Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Spot on, man.
Louis Falls on the Facebook just says forehead model. Is that a thing?
It would be if Pulis.
David Mackintosh, this is one for you, Marcus. David Mackintosh on the Facebook. 70s cop drama with Kevin Keegan.
Oh, lovely.
Keegan gets the ladies, Pulis is the muscle. Go back to the good cop, bad cop thing.
Yeah.
Could there be a better good cop, bad cop combo than those two?
No.
Brilliant.
No, they couldn't.
Finbar Bevan. Finbar's a good Irish name.
Not even Tango and Cash.
On Facebook says, go to Ackridge and Stanley to finish James Beattie off.
Oh.
Not really a job.
No.
But you get paid for
more
that.
Or a murder.
Lee Harvey says, a British-style leisure centre manager. There's something pointlessly officious about him. I bet he loves a clipboard.
Nice to hear from Harv.
Yeah, it is, yeah, definitely. Joe Denham on Facebook says, a butcher. He gets to wear a little hat and chuckle while he hacks at chicken thighs.
Yeah, definitely a butcher.
And Chris Mooks-Fisher, like with my favourite, he could be a new character on Angry Birds.
Yeah,
right. To finish this off, Kevin Anderson, I reckon he'll probably get another job as a football manager. He has plenty of experience. Not in the spirit of it, Kevin,
really,
but thanks for that anyway.
Still. Yeah. Good work.
Yeah, I think I've got nothing.
Enjoyable.
I think he could be an actor exclusively playing like orc style characters.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Something we can all get behind. It's profile time. Damn you all. And this week we've got the true home of football. It's Wembley Stadium.
Oh.
Coming into the Dean Windows Hall.
It's the other way around. We can kind of keep the Dean Windows Hall of Fame in Wembley. It's big enough.
Okay. Yeah.
We've finally got a vessel.
Not the Azteca Stadium or the American Hour.
No. We'll put Wembley in that.
This is, right. No, it's Wembley inside the Azteca, inside the American Hour. What a vessel. Is this the old Wembley or the new Wembley?
Well, all of it.
Both. Okay, right.
Yeah. All the
Wembleys.
All of the Wembleys.
So it's Wembley's. Wembley's.
Yeah, Wembley's.
We can
stadiums.
Actually walk Keegan to the bit where he says he's not good enough to be England manager.
Hang
and
on,
can do it.
we'll come on to that. Put that away. Wembley Stadium opened in 1923.
Oh, bloody hell.
It's a tricky one.
Oh, 44 years before the Summer of Love.
Tricky for Mr. Matt.
Is it the White Horse Cup final, Marcus?
That was the White Horse Cup final. Yeah. It was officially known as the Empire Stadium and was built as the centrepiece of the 1924 British Empire Exhibition. Mm. How about that, eh?
Yeah, the
Empire. I didn't know that. Bloody Empire. It cost £750,000
to build.
It's a bargain.
Yeah. But remember,
listen to that metric. Yeah.
Money was less.
Money then. Was less.
Yeah. Just call me Paul Mason, economics editor at the BBC. Money was less.
And took 300 days to build.
So oh,
the,
really?
The time was less as well.
But time did move fast.
We still don't know. It was black and white. Certainly was quicker. As we said,
it was black and white. Well, it was black and white, so there wasn't that many colours to choose from.
That's why it's a bit grey. It was,
and everyone was sort of the earth, so you could just knock stuff up really quickly. Probably didn't even have doors. Need to shut them down. Quicker.
Passers by would just get involved.
Exactly. Yeah.
Give us a couple of bricks.
What's this? New stadium. Bully.
For the Empires, eh? That's a good thing, isn't it?
Well, I certainly hope to see some big scores in the future.
Incidentally, the British Empire Exhibition was enormous. It attracted about 27 million people from around the world. So that's why. Because if you think. I thought, well, it's a bit much to build a stadium for an exhibition.
It's almost like a World Fair style thing, isn't it?
Kind of, it's a big deal. Because at the time, there was about 58 countries or something like that involved in the empire.
Just in the world. Because we colonised so much of it.
Terrible empire. naughty empire. Yeah.
Naughty empire, back in your box.
Yeah, exactly. Back in your stadium.
Why'd you neck in Queenie?
But anyway, let's not go into that. And after the exhibition, the stadium was due to be demolished. It was due to be demolished, but a man called Arthur Elvin, later to be knighted...
Don't knock that down!
was his first quip.
I like to think he seriously... Don't knock it down, it's pointless. We just built it.
It's mental.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
they won't even do that with the Stratford one.
No.
That I somehow know about.
He ended up buying the stadium and thus saved it.
Who is this man?
There's a whole story behind it. I can't be bothered to go into it. Just take a word for it.
And that's why it's in the D-Word as Yeah.
Do your own research on that.
Do your own printing out.
Wembley, it was ready 4 days... Shut up. 4 days before the 1923 FA Cup final between Bolton Wanderers and West Ham.
Mm. Yeah, and people say that there was about double the amount of attendees than is officially recorded.
The original capacity was 127,000, which is wonderful to think.
It's a lot of standing.
But it is believed that there was well over 200,000.
Yeah.
Which there was.
Because people were spilling out onto the pitch, and this is where the White Horse and the policemen had to...
That's right. Well, the FA had underestimated the amount of interest in the game, and thus the game was not actually ticketed.
Wow. Amazing.
They learnt from that.
Yeah.
Quite dramatically. Apparently around 60,000 fans didn't actually get in. There's so many people still outside. And this, the first ever FA Cup final has the highest unofficial non-racing sports attendance in the world.
What was the unofficial attendance? There's talk of like 300,000.
Yeah, there's talk of up to that.
Wow.
I think most people reckon there's probably about 240,000.
That is enormous.
That's what, like half the population of Iceland.
It's bigger than
more than that.
It's bigger than an AC/DC gig.
Sorry, Paul, I'm just going to the toilet. Where's the toilet? Where you stand.
Yeah.
But absolutely remarkably enough, the kickoff was only delayed by 45 minutes because everyone was pretty much on the pitch, and it was Police Constable George Scorney, mounted on his white horse called Billy, that organised and controlled the whole bloody lot of them.
No one tried to punch that horse, you know. Things were nicer back then.
Our horse is getting easier to punch, Andy.
Our Kevin's getting easier to punch.
I mean, that is extraordinary.
Imagine playing in that game.
I can't.
Just imagine it.
Well, the Bolton Wanderers have won 2-0, and apparently when the first goal was scored, one of the West Ham players was still wading through the crowd after retrieving the ball for a throw-in.
That is mad.
Wembley, if you see the pictures, I mean, the fans are right up by the touchline.
Yeah. Poulis would be gutted about that.
Yeah. There's no technical area there.
No. No
manager trying to get involved. David Jack scored the first goal at Wembley, the Bolton player. And I think is the first player to be transferred for a fee of more than £10,000.
Mm. Those VIP boxes must have been absolutely rammed.
Yeah, they would have been.
I like
for sure.
If everybody was like kind of up to the point that the pitch starts, and the horse kind of cleared the pitch off effectively, like, where would the horse go?
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Just kind of dawdle around the pitch
during the game.
The old Wembley, he just got to start out of the way. At the old Wembley, there was a hoof it. At the old Wembley, there was a gap behind the goals, wasn't there? Because it's an oval, so it's quite a big gap. Yeah. So you probably get there. I mean, I'm guessing. I don't know.
Well, yeah, your guess is as good as anybody's.
No, I disagree. I'm a naive there.
The football was the main event.
Exactly, it was indeed.
Sorry about a tail.
I bet West Ham bridled when that goal went in.
Come on, we've got to get to the bit where Kevin Keegan gets punched in a lay-by.
I'm trying to think of a horse meat gag. Can't do it. Wembley began to host England internationals there after they were previously played at the cricket ground, the Oval. I say internationals. The only internationals they played at Wembley were those against Scotland.
Yeah.
No other national teams were allowed.
Is that when England
were allowed?
Is that when England?
Well, I say allowed. Well, they weren't invited to.
Is that when England just were, we're the best at this.
Yeah.
You can't play us.
They used to play Scotland, but I think in the second time they played Scotland in 1928 Wembley, Scotland won 5-1.
Wow.
So there was probably like, oh, we'll have you back and beat you next time or something. until 1951, that was then teams were invited. And then in 1953, Hungary went, we've been waiting for this.
Yeah.
This is on behalf of everybody else.
Yeah.
Wembley's hosted rugby league finals since 1929. I thought that was a fairly recent thing. Mm. The stadium was also the main athletics venue for the 1948 Olympic Games. Mm-hmm. But getting back to football, as we say, 1953 was the Matthews final, where the great Sir Stanley Matthews and his Blackpool team beat Bolton Wanderers 4-3. Matthews was instrumental in bringing Blackpool back into the game when they trailed 3-0. Stan Mortensen's hat-trick in that game was the only one scored in an FA Cup final at the original Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, but it's still not known as the Stan Mortensen final.
It's the Matthews final, yeah. And as we said, 1953 also saw Wembley's Wembley's most famous matches when Hungary turned up and kicked the crap out of England, beating them 6-3 with Puskás and co. Possibly the first real footballing lesson England got on a sort of a major stage.
Certainly not the last.
Exactly, yeah.
And many more to come, fingers crossed.
well, make a mental note of these.
Many more involving Bobby Robson.
Yeah. Make a note of these ones, because they're quite sort of few and far between when England were beaten at Wembley and so on. But we'll get to the new Wembley in a bit.
Yeah.
The electronic scoreboard and the roof were added in 1963. Which gave the stadium its kind of its final and most iconic look. So yeah, there was no roof on the stadium for years. Bearing in mind it's in England, which would have been a terrible idea. Of course, in '66 England hosted the World Cup, and England played Argentina in the quarter final. Argentina became the first nation other than Scotland to play at Wembley in a competitive international match.
Wow! So it took till '66 for that to happen. Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you had the Hungary, but that was in
wasn't
friendly.
Competitive. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Jessica Hurst got the only goal.
All England's games were at Wembley, weren't they, in that tournament?
Not all of them were. They were in the knockout stages.
In Euro 96, all England's games
were. Blah, 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 blah. They were.
Yeah, good.
England then beat Portugal in the semi, and of course West Germany in the final. In the 1960s, many a final was played there, including the 1965 Cup Winners' Cup, when West Ham defeated 1860 Munich. Mm. 63 and the 68 European Cup finals, the latter being played between Benfica and Manchester United.
Indeed.
George Best was on the score sheet that
night. Scored a lovely one.
There was a couple more European Cup finals played there in the 70s, and a memorable one in 1992. Was it 92?
Yeah, Sampdoria Barca.
Yeah, the dream team. Yeah, Cruyff's dream team, Barcelona. Ronald Koeman scored an excellent winning
goal. Was Ronald Koeman not top scorer in the European Cup that season?
Was he?
I think he might have been, yeah. Look it up, fact fans.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, there's been some fantastic FA Cup finals at Wembley.
Because, I mean, I can remember Pep Guardiola being especially... talking especially in hushed tones about how much he liked Wembley because of 92. When he came back as manager at Barcelona.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Some of the FA Cup finals, I've just picked a few out, and please feel free to wade in with any.
Portsmouth 1, Cardiff City 0.
We're coming to that. 1978-79, the 3-minute final, it was nicknamed, with Arsenal beat Manchester United 3-2.
Yeah.
Alan Sunderland getting the winner right at the death. They were 2-0 up, and then United, I think it was something like 87 and 89. I think McQueen scored one, and then they equalised, and then Alan Sunderland scored straight after.
Talk to me about Keith Houcham.
1986, 1987.
Yeah.
Coventry 3, Spurs 2.
Yeah.
Keith Helchin with the greatest diving header in the history of football.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Pete, you're a fan.
I'm Yobby-esque.
Am I remembering Hartlepoolian?
I remember him managing Hartlepool.
Am I remembering this wrong, or was he in Coventry's brown kit?
No, it was a blue and grey.
No, they were in sky blue.
Yeah. What about...
That was a fantastic final. 86.
Big Ricky Villa?
Oh, for Spurs?
Yeah, Big Ricky Villa as well. Well, if you're going to go on against Spurs, you've got anyone for him. It's only
fair. That's true.
Can we do Dean Windass himself? Didn't he score his playoff
goal? Yes, he did. For
Dean Windass.
Lovely volley.
That was a great volley in the playoff.
For Hull.
87-88, Wimbledon 1, Liverpool 0. The crazy gang.
And the Liverpool 3-2 one after the season.
Straight after against Everton. So if you've got to give one against, you've got to give one for Liverpool. Mm. And then the last FA Cup finals we played at Wembley was in 2000 when Chelsea beat Aston Villa 1-0 with Roberto Di Matteo scoring the goal. Mm. Yeah, but some fantastic playoff finals as well. The one with Glenn Hoddle involved with Swindon Town. I think we mentioned that in his profile. The last international match played there was quite fittingly against Germany.
Well, they beat us.
And they quite fittingly. 1-0 with a Didi Hamann goal. And it was a dreadful affair. It was an awful game. England lost. And it probably shouldn't have gone ahead. There was that much rain.
Mm. Seaman was to fault for the goal.
Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah.
You couldn't scramble across quick enough, could you?
It was a decent hit.
Aye.
And that was when Kevin Keegan resigned pretty much as England manager.
Just, well, I'm so it, wet and
it
cold.
It was a dreadful day for English football. Last day at Wembley, beaten by Germany in an important qualifier.
Lost the best manager we've ever had.
The stadium might as well have just fallen down.
Yeah. But you must have shed a tear when Keggy chucked it in, surely.
It was a long time.
You were probably drunk, were you?
Dave. Oh dear. Wembley was then knocked down and rebuilt, which
didn't take long.
Took more than
turned it around like that. Turned it around.
Bargain. Absolute bargain.
Oh, no worries, mate. This will be done for the new season. No problem. Really did.
Won't fuck you over, honestly.
No, won't cost you hardly any money.
750. Oh, there was an Australian company involved. £757 million and a handful of years later.
Almost bankrupted the Football Association.
The country.
My favourite fact about it is, and I think it's a fact, but for the purposes of the round, it's a fact. Is that apparently.
Luke Moore's possible facts.
That'll do. A lot of the metal they laid to put seats into was found to be the wrong type of metal that would actually conduct electricity. So they've had to do an ECG on someone. It would
kill everyone.
The whole fucking ground.
That's true. I remember that.
No, it was a mistake.
Don't worry about that, mate. Brilliant.
Why did we hire our greatest sporting rivals?
Did we have any Australian listeners?
I don't think
we did. Yeah.
Up until the profile, we did. Apologies.
What metal did you use? Mercury. Oh, God. It's gone down in rivers.
When you say metal, imagine that, the foreman. When you say metal,
it's chocolate and metal.
Is it that?
Oh god,
metal?
I thought it was metal, but these are just Kit Kats. That's the foil. This is going to cost another £100 billion.
Yeah. Just give it to me, I'll sort it out.
Yeah. It was opened in 2007. 2007. Or the years we lost.
Yeah.
Cardiff, of course, saved the day. Mm. The capacity is now 90,000, making Wembley the second biggest stadium in Europe.
I do like the new Wembley. I've been there a few times. I like it.
So it bloody should be.
No, but I like it.
Long enough, you've got that wrong.
We only attend club FA matches.
I like it pitch side, but I just find the interior of it and the sort of approach to it is all very like airport lounge.
Like, oh, absolutely. The O2,
The O2. Absolutely. I mean, when we went there for the semis of the FA Cup last season, there were sort of a couple of people just playing sort of like violins and things in the in the corridors. And it's just odd.
Yeah, that is quite strange. Yeah, but that's Club Wembley, though.
You're yes, but
yeah,
still,
absolutely no punch ups.
Despite our best efforts.
Yeah, I know.
The Twin Towers have
not gone. Like this weekend.
The Arch.
The Archway is now there, and a marvellous statue of Sir Bobby Moore.
Yes,
my favourite addition to that whole site, I think.
Scott Jackson.
Which basically has now led to every single person not from London saying, we'll just meet the Bobby Moore statue.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can't get within about 20 metres of it.
The first match played at the new turf at Wembley was one between England under-21s and Italy under-21s.
I'm going to say Massimo Macaroni. Did he score?
Incorrect.
Pazzini.
Pazzini,
currently at Milan, scored the first goal at the stadium after 28 seconds. And the first hat trick.
There you go.
He was like, I'm going to get all the records today.
No worries, guys. That's taken care of now. That's what he's like. Yeah.
And an Italian under 21 player stealing all the.
Yeah. Do you know who scored the first Englishman?
I was at the game, and I do remember. Mm. And it was a lovely free kick.
Prepare to be underwhelmed, David Bentley.
Oh, it was a good free kick, to be fair.
Yeah,
I was at the game.
Did he go to his head?
Guys, I was at the game. Guys, all right, calm down. I was there.
Yeah, you carry on. I remember saying to him at the time, you carry on scoring goals like that, Bentley, you'll get yourself a loan move to Rota Volgograd. Or wherever he's gone now. Is that where he went?
Who knows? Oh dear. Still can kick a football and skip though.
Yeah. And that's the main. And that's the real quiz.
Sorry, did you say skip bar? No, you're definitely
going
football.
A little office reference. England's first full international was against Brazil. I was there again.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And it was 1-1. John Terry got the first full international.
How the 1% live, eh, everyone? How the ever happy is.
John Terry, set up by Dybeck, so.
You missed that goal because you were still snaffling a bit of food, weren't you?
So now we know which team that Marcus actually supports. It's England.
He's
one of those.
The first club game played there was the 2007 FA Trophy final between Kidderminster and Shrewsbury, and I was also there.
What the hell?
I was.
Did you just do that thing like in a cinema where you go and watch one film and then just skip the other one?
Yeah. I did like Tom Hanks in the fucking terminal.
Oh dear, there was Stevenage Borough won 3-2. It was a really good game, and there was an amazing bit where we were sat back row.
Who's we?
Oh, my friends.
Me and the other guys.
They do exist.
Wembley.
They
just
do exist.
Hang around.
And this guy had been sat in front of us the whole game, hadn't said a word, looked very sort of mild-mannered chap. And then when Stevenage Borough got a last-minute winner and scored, and he just erupted with swear words. You effing Caesar that word. He just hadn't said a word for 89 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, wonderful.
And that's how you met. That's how you met Lord Ramble.
Very good.
During your time as a steward at Wembley.
Quite remarkably, Jim, Millwall hold the record for the number of fans at the new ground by one club which was in the League One playoff final, 49,661.
Surprising.
I mean, I suppose for FA Cup finals, fans probably only clubs only get say 35,000.
Based on that semi final, I don't know how many of them left. Probably not as many.
They've ruined the legacy. Yeah. The first FA Cup final played there at the new Wembley was Chelsea 1 Manchester United 0. I wasn't at that game, but one of us was at the second one. Portsmouth 1, Cardiff 2. Nil.
What a day out it was.
Hey, talk us through the
I
best.
Went through a stage as a Pompey fan going to Wembley about 5 times in 2 seasons.
Yeah, you were back there because 2 years later.
Because we had the semi against West Brom, the final, then we had the Community Shield, then we had the semi against Chelsea at Spurs, then we had the final against Chelsea.
Yeah.
It's scenes.
Yeah.
League 2 next season. Cheers.
It's when both the club and Luke seem to have money.
Yeah. Only one of those is true.
It was all fine when Harry was there, wasn't he?
Back
3 years with Peter Story. That's what I say.
Get Harry back now. We'll sort you right up. You'll fly up the league.
All we need is a new pitch. That's all we need.
Pitch this. The stadium opens in 2011.
Oh, for the record, though, by the way, the second cup run to the 2010 final was under Uncle Avi, of course.
I've not
read that.
2011 Champions League final. Was also hosted there.
It was.
Barcelona 3, Manchester United 1. And the
friend of mine put money on Man United winning that 3-1. That made me laugh. Just the idea of Barcelona conceding 3.
Silly sausage. Wembley will host the.
Also, he's a good friend of mine, actually, who also gave me some chocolate bars to give to you guys, but I've forgotten them. Oh. So it's nice of him, isn't it?
Got any more chocolate bars out?
Yeah.
This year the Champions League final will be held at Wembley again, marking the FA's 150th anniversary.
There won't be an English team in it.
But Wembley Stadium, chaps, what a wonderful place. The home of football. It means so much to so many people, don't you think?
It really does. Like, the idea when you were a kid, the idea of getting to Wembley for a final, which is magical, you know,
which is
really
why it's a shame we did the semis there now.
Absolutely, it really has taken that away.
But also, again, the FA are bankrupt. Yeah. So it has to happen
because of Wembley.
But it's just that kind of like that long walk up to the original Wembley, and even this Wembley's quite
Wembley
special
way.
As well. Wembley Way, it's
or Olympic Way, it was called.
There's a certain amount of magic of being able to leave a game 5 minutes early, to get to the tube station and get yourself home. Wembley Stadium.
No, you're not having that. But Wembley means like so much to people around the world.
Yeah,
like players in all different countries all dream about playing at Wembley.
Yeah. And there are chants all over the world about going to Wembley.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is it seems odd from being so close to it, but it's a really unique place.
A unique place, and it's coming into the Dean Wendell Hall of Fame. finally, the players of the Emirates Hall of Fame can play knockout Wem.
That's or it. Knock down Wem.
Knock down Wem. Yeah. That's it this week, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you had a lovely time. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. And the website is thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Bye-bye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me, darlings.
Sock. That's horrible, isn't it? Burping into a rolled up sock.
You are a disgusting human being.
Twin Towers have gone, Jim. Mm.
I know.
What actually happened to the Twin Towers? Have they bin them off?
Islamic fundamentalists.
No.
Oh,
sorry.
That's not funny.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.